to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
One hour down, two to go. Welcome to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. I'm coming to you live this Saturday evening, October 17th, from the studios of AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. We're going out to our affiliate stations across the country, courtesy of the Liberty News Radio Network. We're on the internet, satellite as well, and on the Liberty News Wire. You can even dial in now over the phone and catch us as if you were in the studio with us. So many ways to listen. We're thankful that you're with us by one of those means. And now joining me, he's on the road tonight, but he's calling in. Winston Smith, my good friend and co-host, sitting in the chair that Keith Alexander just vacated for the next 2 hours. Winston, how are you?
I am very well. That was a sterling segment that you and Keith Alexander did. There's a reason why we call him the political cesspool's intellectual great white shark, and there is nothing that is safe from his observation and his analysis.
To reciprocate the pleasantries, Keith wanted me to be sure to pass along his warmest regards and his equal amount of praise for you. It's a love fest here in the cesspool. We just we have a brotherhood. We get along, and for many reasons, not the least of which, we think we're producing good work, and certainly Keith and Winston always do. They make me look good, but and that's hard to do sometimes.
Keith and I stick around only because you owe us money.
Well, you know, one thing I like about I won't even touch that, but one thing I like about this show, when I was a kid growing up, I used to, that wasn't that long ago, I'm only 29, I used to watch Dumbo Circus. You have kids, Winston. They ever watch Dumbo Circus? I guess Dumbo was off the Disney Channel and was replaced by like Raven or Hannah Montana. But anyway, in Dumbo Circus, you never knew what you were going to get when you tuned in. I mean, they had the flying elephant, of course, but they had a lot of different characters. Some episodes that have characters on that I didn't really care about. Every now and then I'd get really excited because they'd have a character on that man, he was one of my favorites. And that's kind of like the cesspool, because every time you tune in, you just don't know. You just don't know what co-host is going to be on. Is it going to be Winston? Is it going to be Bill? Is it going to be Eddie? Keith? You never know. But we try to rotate everyone in an equal amount of times, depending on their schedule. And tonight it's you, Winston, and I'm excited about that.
Oh, we rotate all right.
Well, anyway, that all being said, it is good to have you back. It's been a few weeks since you've been on the air. And we're excited for a lot of reasons, and not the least of which being next week. Can you believe it's been 5 years already that this show has been on the air and causing not trouble in terms of the establishment's perspective, but certainly doing a lot of good work in terms of ours. We'll be 5 years old officially on October 26th of this year. That's just about a week and some change away. We're going to have a big birthday bash next week. Actually going to have two big guests before we go into the birthday celebration mode. Next week on the show, we will be interviewing live Professor Paul Gottfried, and we will also have Richard Spencer, who is the managing editor of Talky Mag. So two big guests and then a birthday party. And between now and then, folks, don't forget we have a special incentive offer for you, an autographed copy of this new booklet that we're promoting, Liberalism and Its Effect on American Society. It will be hand-signed by all of the Political Cesspool hosting staff, and it's your gift from us in return for a birthday stipend of $25 or more on the website. This is a volunteer organization. We are listener-supported. We certainly need contributions from our listeners to stay on the air and continue to grow. And if you do that between now and the end of the show next week, we'll give you this autographed booklet as a token of our appreciation. It's our party favor, if you will, and you can donate online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. All of that being said,
James,
yes, go ahead.
Can I say one thing about that pamphlet?
Please do.
It's called Liberalism and Its Effects on Society, and Keith Alexander wrote that, and it is a stunning piece of literature, folks. And I'm not saying that just because I got to review it and see it in its first stages, but it is something that you need to read. It's right up there with John Tate's the book that John Tate wrote, Plain
Truth. Plain Truth.
But it's something that you want to get, and I think it's going to be the kickoff for something that's going to be going on with the political cesspool within the next couple of months. But do get a hold of this. It's worth your reading.
It can be yours, folks. It can be yours, hand-signed by all of your cesspool staff members. Donation of $25 or more between now and next Saturday night. Go to the website and go ahead and do it, and we'll get it off in the mail to you. All that being said, Winston, I am very excited about tonight's program, and we're not going to have enough time in this segment, this hour. We're not going to have enough time in this segment to really get into the meat of the interview that is forthcoming over the course of the next several minutes. But we have a very special guest on the line right now, and he's coming all the way from the mother country. He's in the UK tonight, England. It is past 1 a.m. in the morning. He has stayed up late to join us live this evening. Winston, please introduce our featured guest for the evening.
Folks, we have the pleasure of welcoming to the political cesspool Mr. Alek Kurdic. He is of Slovenian descent, we found out. And he has written this stunning book called Mister. It is a description of a dystopia that is rapidly heading our way. It would be almost strange to read it. Did it not have so many parallels to what we are experiencing today? And just like the pamphlet I told you about, this is a book that you are going to want to read. There is some buzz about it over the internet, and we have the author of that book with us tonight, and we are pleased and honored to welcome to the political cesspool Mr. Alek Kurdic. Mr. Kurdic, how are you this evening, sir?
Very well.
It's great to have you on, Alex. I had the opportunity to meet you not too long ago here in an event in the United States, and after exchanging numerous emails with you, it was such a pleasure to finally meet you person to person and shake your hand and share a conversation with you. And before we dive into the meat of this interview, which will be forthcoming after the next commercial break, folks, let me just reiterate what Winston said. We are very, very high on this book. And if you go to our website, there's a direct link over to Edmund Connolly's review of Mister. And there you will also find ordering information. And by the end of this interview with Alex, you're certainly going to want to have a copy for yourself. But, Alex, I do have to say this. Now, tell me if I'm lying. But I called Winston the other day and said he needed to make plans to be on the program tonight because that was a direct request from you. He didn't believe that you thought enough of his prowess to have him on tonight. So tell Winston that you said that.
Yes, well, I was pleasantly surprised to find that Winston Smith was going to be on the show as well. I did ask James whether Winston was going to be on, because I appreciate his monologues. He has a very nice turn of phrase, and I have always enjoyed listening to them. I wish there were more.
Winston, you can die now.
I guess I can. Is that what you want?
No. We certainly don't want that. Obviously, if you're attracting people like Alex to the program, you're an asset that I can't spare to lose. But, folks, in all seriousness, yes, you're in for a treat tonight with Alex as we talk more about his book, Mister. I don't want to open up that can of worms just yet because I know we're pressing near the break. But I will ask Alex this introductory question. Alex, what led you to become a part of this movement, so to speak? And this movement is described in many different ways. But I guess the better question would be, what motivated you to take the road of political activism?
Well, I wrote a piece in the Occidental Quarterly Online, it's part of a series called Why We Write, where I detail my reasons for doing so. And the fact is that the future is not what it used to be. I know because I lived in there. For part of the 70s and early 80s, my parents had jobs overseas, and I lived in Latin America. So I know the kind of society that we're heading our way. And it's a very frustrating and most unpleasant place. I don't want it to come this way. I would like it to stay, well away from us. And I feel that it would be silly for me to worry about being called this, that, or the other by people whom I have very little respect for, just because, I voice an unconventional opinion. So I've decided to do so.
Well, it amazes me, and it's always such a spiritual experience to share the company of men who bear that cross. I think there are hundreds of millions of our kinsmen out there who see these problems and who fundamentally agree with us on the issues, yet they're afraid to speak out for any number of reasons. Yet here we are as Spartans carrying the torch and charging forward. I wonder what it is about people like yourself, Alex, that separates you from the others? Is it genetic predisposition? I guess it doesn't matter. I'm just thankful that there are people like you out there that are producing good work and are charging headstrong into the battle. I just wonder what separates us and if it's something that can be easily bridged to where we can call more into our ranks. I don't know, but we're going to talk more about it when we return with the author of Mister, a novel that you're going to want to buy, a novel you're going to have featured prominently on your bookshelf. And we're going to be talking more with its author right after these words from our sponsors. Sit tight, everyone. The best is yet to come.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. And without further ado, I want to jump headfirst into this interview with our featured guest for the evening, Alex Kurtigich. He is the author of the new novel, Mister, and it has a foreword written by another political cesspool favorite, Dr. Tom Sunich. We'll talk more about that later. But since Winston Smith is the resident expert on literature here in the cesspool, I am going to defer to him to get this interview started with a man we both have the highest degree of respect for. Winston, it's all yours.
Thank you, James. Mr. Kurtig, it's been my experience that that these sorts of novels, and by that I mean these stories of dystopia and things of that nature, they have a target in mind. Did you have a target in mind for this story?
Yes. Most pro-white dystopian literature that I've come across has tended to be of a revolutionary character. And mine is not a revolutionary novel. The revolutionary novel tends to target people whom they see as the agents that have led the society into a dystopia. Whereas my novel targets what I call the respectable conservative, the people like Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and so forth, who would rather. Who place their pecuniary perks above their speaking out about the issues that are really important in our times. And therefore, they are more concerned about maintaining their, a position of respect and being considered respectable in contemporary society and rather than put it all at risk by voicing an unconventional opinion. And therefore, the novel really targets the respectable conservative. My view is that the liberal will be liberal no matter what, but it is the respectable conservative, by his silence, by his craven inaction, by his evasion, that makes the liberal society possible.
Mm. So this is not just a novel. As I read the extracts of it, it reminds me of a warning in the cast of George Orwell, Aldous Huxley, and Ray Bradbury. Is that what you intended for this to be, a warning?
Yes, the novel aims to illustrate the everyday consequences of living in a society where current social, cultural, political, economic, and demographic trends have been allowed to continue unabated. So as a result, it tends to be, it's not an action-packed adventure in that sense. It's rather a very grim and sarcastic depiction of really the worst of all possible worlds. There are some glimmers of hope in there, but obviously it shows what happens when basically you choose to be silent and to keep the peace and not rock the boat. Eventually, you end up with a very disordered society, which can have unintended consequences to yourself, no matter how hard you try to isolate yourself from disruptive agents.
And Alex, just so people are clear about exactly what kind of a book this is, it is a novel that follows a story of a central character. There's a lot of truth in the book, but it is technically a work of fiction. But let's focus on the central character, who you call Mister. What's his story?
Well, Mister is an IT consultant, a middle-class, white, middle-aged, married gentleman who goes on a trip to Madrid, a business trip, because he has developed this software that can, essentially an accounting software, that artificially intelligent, that can keep track of changes in tax legislation in real time, and therefore it's a way he's been contracted to implement this software so that his clients can avoid or exploit loopholes in the tax system. Obviously, this is a society where the tax authorities are extremely predatory, and therefore there's a demand for that kind of business. But in the process of which, he encounters all manners of vicissitudes and is, he lives in a hot, overcrowded, corrupt world where nothing works. So the little work that he gets done is extremely difficult to accomplish.
Well, and I also want to elaborate on the fact, just so people know the setting of this story, and you might have mentioned it earlier, it does take place in the future, but not in the too distant future, correct, Alex?
That's right. It's about 15 years into the future.
And there are some very familiar non-fictional characters in this book that have different roles in this not-too-distant future, such as Kevin McDonald, for instance.
That's right, yeah. Basically, I wanted to create a future that was hyper-real, that people could recognize, and therefore the tactic that I employed was to put people that my target audience would recognize as real-life characters. And obviously, Kevin McDonald appears prominently in the book. In the book, he's referred to as the monster of Long Beach, and is the world's foremost fugitive. He's being held in prison for his writings, and he's about to be tried in the International Criminal Tribunal in The Hague for crimes against humanity, because so the rationale goes, his theories, his writings provide a sort of a rationale for future genocide. So he's actually not done anything yet, but they sort of incarcerated him preventatively.
So, unfortunately, it looks as though the future might be bleak for Dr. McDonald, although for us Southern partisans, if the future depicted in Mister unfolds, we are our own country once again.
Well, yes, indeed. I do predict there's a certain governor of Tennessee that is, as I said, there's some glimmers of hope. And I've written you in as the governor of Tennessee, as you've advertised at your website.
If for no other reason, ladies and gentlemen,
the United States, there's a revival of the Confederacy in this future.
Well, what I read of you putting one James Edwards in as the governor of Tennessee, I thought it was going to be a comedy, a comic book of some sort. But apparently, it's not. You apparently have high hopes for the chief host of the political cesspool, and all I can say is let us keep our fingers crossed.
Well, Winston, you are also
we know that should James Edwards become governor of Tennessee, then the state will become wealthy from speeding tickets. Mr. Curley, I wanted to ask you. You had mentioned that you see this story as a possible future that comes from apathy, basically, where normal people just cannot—they don't get involved in their own destiny, pretty much. This brings to mind something that George Orwell had written. I'm sure you're probably getting tired of the comparisons to George Orwell, but frankly, they are very applicable. But one thing that Orwell said was that in our age, there's no such thing as keeping out of politics. He said all issues are political issues. And politics itself is a mass of lies, evasions, folly, hatred, and schizophrenia. Do you see something of that quote in your story?
I think it's true, and I wanted to counter that quote with a quote from Plato, who said the price of not being involved in politics is being ruled by your inferiors.
I agree with that. One thing I had written when I first got into college and when I first started getting involved in politics, I had written something, and I ended it by saying that you have to be involved in politics, because if you are not, politics will be interested in you, and it will be interested in you to your detriment. And folks, I want to say this, that if you don't like being involved in politics, especially against your will, then the best thing you can do is to be involved in politics. You need to defeat it.
We got to take a break.
You don't want to just step back and let it have its way with you. You need to fight it. And the reason you should fight it is precisely because...
Winston, we got to take a break.
Like
cool,
guys.
We'll be right back, buddy.
Right
hang
after
on.
These messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the political cesspool, everyone. James Edwards and Winston Smith in the pilot and co-pilot chairs, respectively, this evening as we bring you another live installment of our award-winning broadcast. Our featured guest this evening is Alex Kurtigich, and he is not our only guest, though. We are going to have Brian Pace of the Northeast Mississippi Council of Conservative Citizens, Carlton Huffman of formerly of the American Cause, forthcoming during the third hour. But right now we are talking about the new novel entitled Mister. It is written by our guest, who is on the line right now from England, and he is burning the midnight oil. It is about 1:30 a.m. over there right now as he sits on the phone line with us as we discuss his novel. And as you heard in the last segment, if for no other reason, ladies and gentlemen, you should buy this book, because in this book, which takes place in the future, I am the governor of Tennessee. And you can buy the book if you go to our website. The easiest way to do, of course, we want you to go to Alex's website as well, and we're going to get him ample time to plug his website and blog. But the simplest way, if you're on our website already listening to this program tonight, just look at underneath the forthcoming guest roster for tonight's program. There is a link that will take you over to Edmund Connolly's review of Mister, and there you will have a couple of different options on how you can buy the book through Amazon, through Alex's website, through the Occidental Quarterly, any way you want to get it. Just get it. Get it, because we want you to have it. You need to have it. It'll make a good early Christmas present for yourself or for a loved one. Alex, you know, one thing that I know that you did was put an immense amount of attention to detail in your writing. I know you had commented to me that when you were crafting some of my quotes for the book in speeches that I make as the future governor of Tennessee, you studied my speech patterns and the way that I dictate on this program to make it as lifelike as possible, did you not?
Yes, that is right. I was an assiduous listener of your show prior to writing the novel. So I was quite familiar with your speech patterns, but of course I wanted to get it absolutely right. And, you know, so obviously I did listen to it carefully, analyzed how you spoke, and tried to make it as lifelike as possible.
Just another reason to buy it, folks, you know, just see how close he gets. And Winston, you know, I was fortunate enough to receive an advanced manuscript of this before it finally went to print and the finished version was released. And you were written in for a time as the lieutenant governor, but, you know, some content edits had to be made and you were kind of written out of the book. But nevertheless, you were there, buddy. I saw it with my own eyes. But more seriously, though,
I mean,
they're obviously...
I'm sure the novel is fine without me. I'd like to ask you about some of the styling that went into the novel, and you've touched upon it. James touched upon it with the dialogue that you gave him. And by the way, as I read that extract of James's speech in the book, I could hear his voice. You nailed it. You got it exactly right, and I salute you for that, sir. But there's a lot of other language in here that I appreciate, because it is very evocative. Your language, the language that you use, it immediately puts a picture in your mind. And I'm speaking particularly of this one passage where you describe a colorfully attired Afro-Caribbean woman holding an infant crying on one of her prodigious mammaries. And you also speak of a Chinese student who vomits into his air sickness bag before the airplane even leaves the gate. And then you mentioned the price of water. The main character, Mister, is trying to get some juice while he's on the airplane. €20 for each can, and that's not far off. That's about right. But the ordinary, you write this, the ordinary cup of yesteryear had fallen victim to the rising cost of potable water, with southern England's reservoirs now in permanent crisis and water consumption subject to a battery of climate levies. Any beverage containing water had become an oriental luxury. Now, as I read that, it was depressing enough, but then you end it with that wonderful phrase, an oriental luxury. And that pretty much said it all about the state of this world in which Mister inhabits. I just wanted to comment on that excellent language that you use, and I wanted to salute you for it.
Well, thank you. I believe that when people have asked me to describe the style in which I wrote the novel, I have, I don't know if you will agree, but I have tried to compare to Edward Gibbon's in the history of the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, and Kevin MacDonald as his most scientific.
Alex,
I don't know if you see that.
Yes. I think you accomplished it.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you to elaborate, if you could, on the literary style in which this novel was written. I know there's been a lot of commentary about that as well.
Yes, well, as I said, a lot of the contemporary dystopian fiction tends to use a quite a modern style, and the main concern, I suppose, from the publishing companies is to reach a mass market, and therefore they try to avoid language that is elaborate and that will put some sort of a threshold on the readership. Whereas I have been unconcerned about that, and I have try to make the literary style as elegant as possible. And I also thought it added to the irony, because although it is a very sarcastic and very grim scenario that I'm portraying, it is also narrated from a very ironic, with a very ironic tone. There's a lot of understatement. There's, of course, grotesque exaggeration in many cases, but there's also a consistent pattern of understatement throughout the novel.
Mr. Kirby, I just thought of something funny. I'm sorry. Every author makes certain assumptions about the intended audience. For example, it's pretty much the opinion of the majority of people that murder is bad, murder is wrong. It's pretty much the opinion of the majority of readers that that adultery is wrong. Authors make certain assumptions about the moral compass of their audience. What did you assume about your target audience in when you wrote Mister?
Well, the target audience has been people who listen to the show. I would like to think that people who are in the periphery of the listenership of the show would take an interest in the novel. But there are many inside jokes also. I mean, I've written in as characters people like David Irving, David Duke. They appear in the narrative, and there you have to have a certain amount of specialized knowledge to get it. Otherwise, I'm not so sure that it will reach a mass audience. In this regard, or that they will be able to perceive the message the way it was intended.
Well, have you experienced any sort of backlash or criticism? Have you been called a racist yet because of this book?
Not yet. I'm quite surprised. Maybe after this program.
I'm sure you will. I mean, the Semitic Professional Lying Cockroaches, or the SPLC, that's the Semitic Professional Lying Cockroaches, they will certainly bring you up in their next so-called intelligence report. They feed off of us. They wouldn't exist without us, and they always put in their obligatory cut-and-paste articles about the political cesspool. And you're going to be a new one, a new mention to the Semitic professional lying cockroaches.
Well, let's hope. Only people who do good work.
What can you do?
you can't do anything except thank them for noticing the quality of your work. But I've got to ask you this, Alex. Every great book is written, obviously, by a great author, which I believe you to be. But they also have a foreword written by a man of note, and you selected Dr. Tom Sunich. I couldn't think of a much better choice myself. Why did you select Dr. Sunich to write the foreword of Mister?
Well, I read, following an interview that you did with him, he appeared in your program in 2007. I bought his book, Homo Americanus, and I found him to be a very incisive cultural critic. And I think he had very original thoughts about the state of modern culture. And therefore, this being a commentary on contemporary culture, I thought he would be the appropriate person to write a foreword. So I approached him. He's a friend of mine. We're on very good terms. And he read the novel. And I think he read the novel in 2 days. So he liked it that much. And he agreed to write the foreword.
Sit tight. More to come with Alex Kurtigick right after this, when the political cesspool continues.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
We've got a very big third hour in store for you tonight on the program, ladies and gentlemen. Carlton Huffman from Pat Buchanan's organization, The American Cause. He's going to be on with us to talk about an encouraging development. And also, coming on before Carlton will be two local leaders, chapter leaders of the Council of Conservative Citizens, a fine organization of which I am a member. And I'm a very big fan of the two men that will be coming on in just a few moments, Brian Pace of the Northeast Mississippi Council and Sid Secular. They're both on. They're both waiting in the wings, and they'll be on at the top of the third hour, and I appreciate them for their patience. Concluding this hour, concluding this segment, or this interview, I should say, with the author of the new novel, Mister, Alex Kurtigick. We were just talking about the foreword of the book, which was written by Tom Sunich. Just another reason why you should buy this novel, ladies and gentlemen. You get to read not only Alex's novel, but you get to read a foreword by Tom Sunich. And anytime you have the opportunity to read the writings of Tom Sunich, you should take full advantage. But Alex, I have mentioned that if people want to learn more about this book, they want to read the review written by Ed Connolly for the Occidental Quarterly, they can simply go to our website and click on the link there that's featured in the guest list section of the homepage. But if they want to read more about you and order the book perhaps directly from you or from your website, how can they learn more and read more from you, Alex?
Well, they have a variety of options. My personal website, which is alexkurtigich.info. There's a link at the bottom. I'm a frequent contributor to the Occidental Observer, and at the bottom of my articles, there's a link to my personal website. If you have, I won't spell it over here now. The other place you can get the book from is from ironsky.com, which is a publisher. You can get it from amazon.com, and you can get it from the Occidental Quarterly online shop. That's another option you have. For American customers, probably Amazon.com. The problem is that it sells out so quickly that sometimes it's out of stock with Amazon, so you might want to you know, look at different options if you're attempting to get hold of it.
It's a hot book, ladies and gentlemen. It's a hot item. It's flying off the internet shelves, as it were. And but thankfully, there are still a few different avenues for you to get it for yourself. The book is Mr. Winston. Perhaps a final question or two from me to Alex.
Certainly. I'd like to ask him a question, but first I want to make an announcement that Mr. Kurdzic has given me permission to make. Mr. Kurdzic is going to donate an autographed copy of his book to the political cesspool, and we're going to figure out a way to raffle it off to our listeners. Last time we did something like this, it was with a T-shirt, and we had a T-shirt that we had given to a former co-host, Jeff Melton, and we were trying to raise money, and Jeff Melton auctioned off his autographed T-shirt. It was autographed by all the political cesspool staff, and it was very popular. So, Mr. Kurdzic, I'm having trouble saying your name, sir. I'm sorry. Mr. Kurdzic has graciously donated an autographed copy of the book Mister to the political cesspool. So stay tuned, folks. Maybe next week we can set up some time to auction this thing off.
Yeah, I think what we'll do.
Once in a lifetime offer, but look forward to it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Winston. I think what we did last year when Jeff, it was 2 years ago when Jeff did that. Now it was also coincidentally enough. During our birthday celebration, I think we had just turned 3 years old at the time. The difference was Jeff had a working computer as he hosts the show so he could monitor the bids coming in for the item, whereas right now here at the studio, I do not. We'll have to get that fixed. But that's and wouldn't you just know it, as fate would have it and as time would have it, next week we'll be doing the anniversary program again, except this time we'll be 5 years old. But next week, count on it, during the birthday celebration. And thank you so much for that gift of charity, Alex. We will raffle this off next week, an autographed copy of a book that we are very high on. It'll just be another reason to tune in for the big party, and makes me excited all the more. So stay tuned. That'll be forthcoming next week. But Winston, back to you.
Sir, the question I had relates to another quote that I've committed to memory, and it comes from Thomas Hobbes, who wrote the book Leviathan, and in it, Mr. Hobbes describes a condition that he calls a state of nature. And he says the state of nature, he describes it as being solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. By the way, those were the names of the first political cesspool hosts. Solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. Anyhow, as I read some of the extracts and the descriptive passages of Mister, I can't help but think about the Hobbesian state of nature. What say you about that?
Well, I think it's quite accurate. The book is peppered with random violence. There's a recurrent theme, or it's one of the recurrent themes, the random violence, because it also explodes the myths of the multi-ethnic conviviality, which obviously is one of the topics that Thomas Lapsunich talks about in his monographs. I agree. I think it is an accurate assessment of the situation, this scenario that I have presented in my book. I think that this we're going to see that more and more. I've seen it in the past, in a previous life, I think that we're headed to unless something happens, really. I think our current media, political, and academic establishment, they know that any disruptive event is going to ferment revolutionary sentiment in the populace. So they're going to try to manage the decline to have a smoother ride as possible towards the trough of universal poverty, which is the end result of the liberal society. I don't think that, in the process of which you're going to have, this sort of the barriers that prevent people from engaging in acts of aggression and depredation among one another are going to be steadily eroded as resources become increasingly scarce, as money evaporates from people's hands due to hyperinflation and predatory taxation and so forth. So I think, yes, the Hobbesian scenario is a very likely one.
Actually, a Clockwork Orange meets Soylent Green.
Well, yeah, it's not far off.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the better part of the last hour, we have been talking with Alex Kurtagich, the author of Mister. We want you to buy his book. We've been talking a lot about the contents of this novel and some of the characters featured there. We've talked and discussed the literary style in which it's been written and some of the other facets of it. But we're not going to tell you how it ends. You got to buy it to read that much, and we encourage you to do so. Alex, we just have a minute or two left before we go into the break and into our third hour. Give the people once more your website address and how they can become the proud owners of a copy of Mister.
Okay, the website address is www.alexkurtagich.info. There's a link at the bottom of my articles that appear in the Occidental Observer and the Occidental Quarterly as well online. That links directly to my website. You can get it from the publisher, ironskies.com. You can get it from the Occidental Quarterly online shop, and you can get it from amazon.com. And then probably for U.S. Readers, the best place is probably the Occidental Quarterly online shop.
Thank you so much, Alex. I know it's late over there. It's close to 2 a.m. now. Thank you for staying up to such an early hour to be with us live and to inform and enlighten our listenership. We wish you the very best and look forward to a continued working relationship and a cultivated and robust friendship. And I look forward to seeing what the future holds for all of us, even if it turns out the way it does in Mister.
Okay.
Have a great night, my friend, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, what's so funny?
Especially if it turns out like with you being governor.
Well, like I said, you'd be lieutenant governor, so what's the problem?
I would prefer to be communications director or something like that, but that would have been better for Bill Rowland.
Well, we'll give Bill a job. Listen, if I'm there, you know, we're going to do like they do it now. We're going to give jobs to all of our friends and no one else, so... the count on
hey,
you know, Bill will have
Obama's
a position.
Doing it.
You know, Eddie will be sergeant at arms, and it's all going to be worked out in the long run. Keith, what could Keith be?
Keith could be the Department
Attorney
of
General,
the Justice Secretary.
Yeah, that's he'll be he'll be we'll work that out during the transition
general.
During the transition period. But folks, do buy a copy of Mister. The author Alex Kurtagich with us for the last hour. We got a lot forthcoming though. Winston is going to stay with us here for the third and final hour, which is coming up after this news break brought to you by the Liberty News Radio Network. We'll be joined immediately by Brian Pace and Sid Secular, chapter chairman for the Council of Conservative Citizens. You're not going to want to miss the good news that they have to report and forthcoming a little bit later. Carlton Huffman, formerly of the American Call. So still much, much more to come on tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the rising sun.